And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, the Bible, in its prophetic words, and it is said that one-third of the Bible is prophecy, is simply amazing, and we really need to get in, dig in, and discover what it tells us. I get so many people that have all kind of theories and teachings and doctrines, and they study about blood moons and about, you know, some holiday of the Jews, some high holy day or whatever, or they talk about, they read a recent book that warned them about some Ayatollah, Imam of the Arabs or the Iranians or something that was going to turn out to be the Antichrist, and the Islamic world was going to conquer us. We were going to be under Sharia law, and on and on and on and on. And all of that is totally garbage. That's keeping up with the modern world. It's reading the newspapers and then saying from the newspapers what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, Jesus Christ did say that you could see the signs. You know, he told the Jews, you know, you read the signs in the sky, you know, you see the clouds, the gathering billowing clouds, and the thunderstorms come up, and you know something. I mean, hey, I know it's fall right now. It's going to be 95 degrees here in Texas today, but it's October, and I feel a slight little taste of autumn, of fall in the air. I can perceive the signs. I know the signs of the times, but I can tell you that no man knows the day nor the hour. We only know the seasons. But in prophecy, we really can know more because God has given us this sure word of prophecy. That's what he calls it, a sure word of prophecy. And I read that, and it really helps me. You know, I go beyond my own finite mind to understand the prophetic word. You see, I can read all of these things, and I can hear all this propaganda, and we're being bombarded with propaganda in the world today. And we're being told these beheadings over in the Middle East, it's a sign of the Antichrist to come. All this nonsense. And then Obama goes to the United Nations and tells them that the only way for us is to kill the terrorist. That's what Obama said. The only way for us is to kill the terrorist, to wage war on the terrorist. He's talking about the ISIS or ISIL terrorist. The Islamic State that's been created, that the United States helped to create. Now, all of this is propaganda. Now, anyone who listens to Obama and gets all excited about what's going on in the Middle East is approving of American lives to be spent on trash. Now, I want to assure you of something. I want to take you back over 100 years ago, when an Islamic army was massacring Christians. That's right. From 1901 to 1905, read about it, the Armenian Massacre. The Armenian Massacre. Where is Armenia? It's a country to the east of Turkey, which is an Islamic country. Armenia is a small Christian nation stuck in that area of the world where chaos, death, are always found. But Armenia sits there. Armenia probably had less than 5 million citizens. It's a place where historically the Christian church first started. Of course, we know about Athens, Greece, and all those great cities in the Bible that where Paul preached. But Armenia was one of the first Christian nations in the world. And to the north of Armenia is Russia. The Russian republics, that is, Kazakhstan and so forth. And to the west of it, there is Turkey. Well, Turkey is a great power, probably has about 80 to 90 million people, and about 96% of the population of Turkey are Muslims. But in the early 1900s, the Soviet Union was conquered by its Jewish population. How many Jews did it have? Probably all of the Soviet Union, all of the republics, Russia and so forth, had less than 1 to 2% of their population who were Jewish. Vladimir Lenin was a Jew. Trotsky was a Jew. Kaganovich was a Jew. And these three teamed up with Joseph Stalin, who many say is a Jew. Stalin, we know, was married to three different Jewish women. And he was put in power by Jews. Many say he was a Jew. But we do know the first communist government was made up of Jews. That was 1917. But even before that, there was incredible things going on in the Middle East. For the Turkey government was overthrown, and the Young Turks took power. Who were the Young Turks? They were Jews. They called them Young Turks. They were of Turkish blood, but also Jewish blood. Now, I've already proven to you that the Jews do not have to be of the Israelite race. In fact, they are not. We know of the Khazars, the Khazar Republic, and the Jews that are in Israel today actually came out of Khazaria. And DNA science has proven that they have no Israelite blood. They're all converts. They're Europeans. So when you call them a Jew, you're talking about their religion, not their race. They didn't descend from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They've never been in that area of the world until 1947 and 48. But the Turks, I've read all about it. I did a audio tape report. You can buy it in CD or audio tape, either one. It's entitled A Sea of Blood, A Sea, S-E-A, of Blood. And it talks all about how the Young Turks were actually Jews out of two Masonic lodges, one in Salonika, Greece, the other in Paris, France, the Grand Orient. And these two Jewish Masonic lodges launched an overthrow revolution of the Ottoman, the Muslim Empire at that time. This is in the early 1900s as we went into the 20th century. And they took over the Republic of Turkey, which was the Muslim headquarters of the world, you might say. And thus they had the great Turkish army under their power. Now, only about a decade later, they grabbed the great Christian empire of Russia, and they took that under their power. So here the Jews, called communists in Russia and the Soviet Union, and call Young Turks in the nation of Turkey, who are in power. Now, we know from Solzhenitsyn's book and many other historical readings that the Jews that conquered in Russia and set up the Soviet communist government in 1917 went on to massacre and kill some 66 million people. In Turkey, they had control of the Turkish government and the Islamic realm. And they had power over the imams of Turkey and Istanbul. And the first thing on their agenda, as it was in Russia, to kill Christians, was to kill Christians in Turkey. And what nation did Turkey control in addition to the nation of Turkey? Of course, they control Syria and they control Armenia. Armenia was a Christian nation of no more than 5 million people, and so they massacre the Armenians. They cut off the hands of the men. They raped the women. And it is said that some 2 million Armenians were massacred. It's one of the worst genocides in all of history. Now, if you don't believe me, go to Glendale, California. See where talk to the Armenians who live in America. They all know. I've been to visit them. I spoke to the Armenian community of Glendale, California. I talked to the elders. I talked to Mr. Bedros of the Christian Armenian American Outreach Committee, a Christian ministry in Glendale, California. He told me, and the other Armenians told me, of the great horror when the Jews took over Turkey. The Jews portray themselves as anybody. They pretend to be Arabs and pull off the horrible massacres that we see today in these terrorist bombings. Then they pretend to be Christians and kill. Then they pretend to be atheists in communist countries and kill there. Islam, Christianity, communism, all these groups are taken over by Jews who want to kill. Can this be possible? It is, because Revelation 2 and 3 tell us to beware what? Of the mosque? No. Of the church of Satan? No. Of the synagogue of Satan? Yes. I am one voice in the wilderness crying out to you, dear Christian friend, to believe Jesus Christ. You don't have to believe Tex Mars. You can call me a rotten, dirty liar. I don't care what you call me. I don't have a reputation to maintain. I don't need a legacy. I don't want your money for money's sake. I need your support, whatever you support me, as the Holy Ghost leads you. That's what I want. I want you to ask the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of our Lord. I want you to say, what can I do to broadcast the truth of the book of prophecy called Revelation? Because in Revelation 2 and 3, we're warned of the synagogue of Satan. And my friends, it is here alive now. And they're in Syria right now. They're in Iraq. They're in Israel. They're in Jordan. And they're massacring Christians. Now, let me tell you what's happening. You have to understand that when the Jews took over Turkey, and in the early 1900s, read about 1905. Read about Armenia, how the people were genocided there. And today the Armenians say it was the Turks that murdered us. It was the Turks, but it was the Turks led by the Jews who had taken over. They called them the Young Turks. They were actually Jews. In Russia, we say the communists. No, yes. No, yes, how's that? Because they weren't really communists. They were Jews pretending to be of the communist world. But what they wanted is a world empire. And they sought a new man, a superior new man, a God man. Khrushchev said, we want a new Soviet man who has never existed before, a Soviet man. The New Age says they want a God man too. He will have a Masonic consciousness. He will be superior to the others. Now, the Jewish Kabbalah, the book of the Zohar, one of the books in the Kabbalah, explains this and says what they're after is a Jewish utopia, and the Jews will be the head of it. So all these things we see in the world today are symptoms of a disease, a Jewish disease that's prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm through with fooling around on this. I've done all my research. I know what I'm talking about. But more in-depth than my research, more insightful, more to the point is Bible prophecy. Again, I say to you, dear friends, don't believe Tex Mars. Call me every name in the book, but go yourself and read Revelation 2 and 3. In fact, read the letters of Jesus to the churches, the seven churches. See what it says there, what they say. And friends, we are headed for the great temptation that is to come upon the whole world that will try men's souls. Yes, there is a great temptation that is to come upon the world. The temptation to believe that you're a God, that the great God is not our God, but is someone called Ein Sof, the Jewish Kabbalistic God and deity. The same temptation that Adam and Eve received in the Garden of Eden is now here again. It was Lucifer that attempted to deceive them, that seduced Eve, and she brought Adam into her conspiracy. And now we have another great conspiracy, and Lucifer is in charge of this conspiracy. He hasn't learned his lesson, I guess, in thousands of years. Now I want to tell you what's happening in the Middle East. And again, open your eyes and you will see that the wars, the bloodshed, are all caused by Islam. Yes, but what is Islam? Islam is a satanic religion. And the Jews are like marionettes with puppets. And they lead the stupid Muslims and cause the Muslims to do horrible things. But the Jews are the organizers of the Middle East. They're the masterminds of the Middle East. And they have organized the entire world as an orchestrated horror. Think of Broadway in the United States. Think of a Hollywood movie. All of these productions, of course, are by Jewish producers and directors. And Broadway is all run by the Jews. We know that. And whatever the production is, we're getting them today. Now listen to me very carefully. The Muslim dangers, the Muslim terrorist, the Muslim threat to the United States and the world is not new. The Muslim threat has been active since around 600 AD. The Muslims at one time went all the way across northern Africa into southern Europe, and they took much of Spain. If you go to Spain today, you will see much of the architecture that actually is Muslim architecture because they conquered. Now, they also went into the Middle East and they conquered much of that area. But a Jewish conspiracy found power within the, and a weakness that they could get a hold of and use inside the Muslim faith. See, the Muslims have never had a pope as such. I know they have these ayatollahs and these so-called imams and all that, but they can't even get along. They have their own discord. They have the Sunnis. They have Sharia, the Shia people. And they have the Wahhabis. Now, those are denominations like the Baptists and the Catholics. I mean, you go to Northern Ireland and you see the Catholics and the Protestants killing each other. Not so much anymore, but 20 years ago, it certainly was going on. Fighting, discord, and deceit between Protestants and Catholics. And thank God for Martin Luther, we had some freedom-loving clergyman 500 years ago who gave us the Protestant movement. And that ended many of the vices and the evils of the Catholic popes. But in the Muslim faith, they haven't had the popes and so forth. They haven't had unity. So they are prime targets. Islam is a prime target to be infiltrated by the Jews. Now, Christians don't really go around infiltrating much. You see, we are simple people. We really are. Now, Jesus told us to be as wise as serpents. We're to be meek because we're to follow him. We're not to try to lord it over our fellow man. We're to love, to forgive, to have compassion. But we're not to be stupid. We're to be as wise as serpents. But being wise as serpents does not mean being deceitful. It doesn't mean lying and deceiving others and cheating them and robbing them and putting spies at various locations. And so the Christians throughout the centuries have not been able to gain a foothold in Islamic countries. We go there, we preach, and many missionaries have been killed over the years by the Muslims. The Muslims have as their basis of faith jihad. Holy war. We have a holy war of sorts because the Christian soldiers march onward with love, with arms outreached, and with compassion. We witness to the Muslims, to the Jews, to all men of the love of Jesus Christ. We do not kill. We do not slay men. We are not the conquerors of the world. And any time in history when Christians have sought to conquest, when the popes said, we will go back into the Holy Land and retake it in Jerusalem for the Christian faith for the cross, all that happened was slaughter. The Crusades, men were slaughtered. Any time we have sought as Christians to take over the world through force, through military power, we have not succeeded. Dear friends, we have only ended up bloodying each other, the Catholics, the Protestants, and so forth. But now Jesus Christ calls all Christians, whatever your label, if you are born again in spirit and in truth, then Jesus calls you to be his children. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're of the Abrahamic faith. You are the seed of Abraham, of Jesus Christ. And you are a citizen of Jerusalem that is in heaven, heavenly Jerusalem, of Zion. And we must all come together. We are the camp of the saints, but we are fighting a great spiritual war. Yes, that's the war that Christians fight. We fight a spiritual conflict, my friends, because Satan has a great grip on the Muslims, and Satan has an even greater grip on the Jews. And there are the other related faiths too, of Buddhism and Confucianism and Jainism and so forth, and the New Age movement, which is basically Kabbalistic Judaism and Freemasonry and on and on. But none of these have anything to do with us, and the Pope and all of his clever maneuverings, that has nothing to do with Christianity. And don't tell me you're a Catholic or a Baptist or a Disciples of Christ, so-called. I'm telling you today that you're either a Christian, a believer in Jesus, and you have the faith of Abraham, or you have nothing. I'm also telling you that if you do not have the Son, you don't have the Father, because the Father and the Son are one. So we shall come together as Christians. We are the camp of the saints. And Revelation 20 tells it very clearly. Gog from the land of Magog comes up on the face of the earth. And what does he confront but the Christian faith? We are the camp of the saints. We are surrounded by devils everywhere, my friends. And we're not as a Christian nation in any kind of a... We do not have the capacity to rule the Middle East, nor Russia, nor Europe. But we've taken upon ourselves to be the policemen of the entire world. But you will find we cannot do it. Now, we're the wealthiest nation on earth, but we're quickly becoming one of the poorest. All our great riches are going to be thrown away, given to others. Now, what is happening in the Middle East is that the Jews have already conquered the elite of the world. They control the world. Yes, the Jews control America. They control Europe. But they do not have control of my heart and soul, nor yours. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, my friends. Obama is under their control. Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, Democrat, is under their control. Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Rand Paul and all the Republicans are under the control of the Jews and the Jewish lobby. We have no politicians that are Christians. Don't be deceived. And whatever happens in the Middle East is being dictated to the United States by the Jews. And whatever happens in the Middle East, believe me, it is of the Jews. Now, over 100 years ago, the Jews controlled Turkey, and the result was millions of Christians were massacred. And now today, in 2014, 2015, the Jews still control the Middle East. The Turks do whatever the Jews tell them to do. The Kurds go along with the Jews. Jordan is a Masonic nation, and wherever they exist, the Jews control. The United States has all of its military power and is controlled by the Jews. Now, I sound like a broken record, but you have to understand, it's prophesied. The synagogue of Satan, them which say they're Jews but are not, because they're Khazars, but they do control. Now, I want you to understand something. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney went into Iraq. They made a pretext. They lied and said, you know, Saddam Hussein had all these military weapons. He had chemical weapons and, you know, mushroom cloud atomic bombs, and he was going to come over and get America. And they're a measly, sick nation of 28 million people. We have more than that in the states of Texas or California. And yes, we went in and we conquered Iraq, but our goal has always been to divide Iraq into three parts. We never wanted to create another new democratic government in Iraq. We were only wanting to take the Muslims and divide them into three parts: Kurds, Sunnis, and Shias. And that's exactly what has happened. The Sunnis call themselves the Islamic State, ISIS, or ISIL, which means the Islamic State of the Levant. And they're our people. We control them entirely. Look at the pictures. Even John McCain went over there to see the leaders and had pictures made with them. Somebody mentioned that in the news. I think it was Rand Paul said that John McCain has met with the leaders of ISIS. They've taken pictures together. They're pals together. They're in Syria. And John McCain went bananas. Oh, you're a big liar, he said of Rand Paul. No, Rand Paul was telling the truth. John McCain is part of the ISIS empire because the Jews run ISIS. And the Americans, including John McCain, Senator John McCain, will do whatever they tell him to do. And ISIS has effectively broken Iraq into three parts. And listen to me, friends. In 2006, a law was passed in our federal Congress, in the House and Senate, and signed by the president into law, which says the goal of the United States is to divide Iraq into three parts. We have a law that says that. But Americans don't even know there's a law that says that. ISIS is following the American law, is doing whatever the Americans told them to do. ISIS is controlled by a man named al-Baghdadi, who was trained by the Americans and by the Israeli Mossad. Ali Baghdadi, everything is run by the Jews and Americans. They're not really bombing, trying to destroy ISIS over there. They're fighting a war that can last for 30 or 100 years. But not to destroy the Muslims, to cause chaos. And what are they doing? They're overseeing the destruction of the Christian communities wherever they go in the Middle East. America and Israel are working together with the Muslims to kill Christians throughout the Middle East. Don't ever forget that, friends. Now, I'll be right back in a minute. I'm going to explain all this. It gets very confusing, but believe me, it is the truth. The American military knows about it. The American intelligence community knows about it, but they don't know how to get out the message because the Jews control our media and they're telling us what to think. But we've got to develop our own thinking. It's got to be biblically prophesiable. It's got to go along with the Bible. I'm going to tell you how to think and exactly what to think when I return right here on Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. We're talking today about Free Syria, the maze of the Middle East, when we return right here on Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Again, this is Tex Mars. I'd like to tell you about this new book that we've just published. It's an amazing book. An amazing book. It's by Martin Luther. Well, didn't he live 500 years ago? That's right. You know, Martin Luther died, I think, in 1546, if I'm not mistaken. 1546. The year 1546. Now, he broke away from the Catholic Church. He said, "Here I stand. Here I stand." What did he stand for? The Bible and Jesus Christ. Now, the Catholic Church told people, don't read the Bible. The priest will read it for you. They'll tell you what it's all about. And, of course, the priests were homosexuals, and they would sell heaven to people, so-called, indulgences. You don't want to spend as much time in purgatory, you want to go straight to heaven, or you want one of your loved ones to, just pay the Catholic Church. So the rich would pay the Catholic Church money for indulgences, and then the bishops and the cardinals and the priests would say, "Oh, this is going to get you out of purgatory quicker," by paying money. Of course, if you were too poor and poverty-stricken to pay any money, you just had to suffer, didn't you? But Martin Luther said this is evil, that our rewards in the other world, in heaven, come from our faith and not from our money. He said it's not because of what we do for the Catholic Church, but what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. That's what Martin Luther said. Well, 3 years before he died, at the age of 62, Martin Luther, the great German theologian, the great doctor of the Bible, they call him Dr. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, one of the greatest heroes of the Christian faith of the last 2,000 years, Martin Luther, wrote a book. You know, a few years ago, I tried to get a copy of this book. I couldn't find it anywhere. It wasn't published. Now, the last Martin Luther book by this title I'm going to tell you about in a moment was published, I think, back in the late 1950s. But it's since disappeared. Now, Martin Luther is so famous that we have statues around the world. We have churches named after him. We have an entire denomination, the Lutheran denomination, named after Martin Luther. But his most famous book was not even in print. It was not published. And when I tell you the title, you'll say, "Oh, I know why that wasn't published." Now think of it. Martin Luther, one of the greatest books of all time, is his book entitled, listen to this, "On the Jews and Their Lies." On the Jews and Their Lies. Well, I couldn't find it anywhere. I wanted to know what Martin Luther said about the Jews. Did he really know what he was talking about? Well, he did. He was a doctor of the Bible. He was a great man. He even wrote a book of hymns. He was a master musician. He even authored a version of the Holy Bible that was almost word for word the same as the King James Bible. Now, what did Martin Luther know about the Jews? I wanted to know what he knew. Now, all I could find was a little pamphlet. It was about, I don't know, 20 or 30 pages. They took out little excerpts from this great volume on the Jews and their lies, and they published it. Well, 20 or 30 pages was not enough for me. I wanted to know what the whole book said. I guess I'm just that kind of a guy. You know, I've read thousands and thousands of books. To me, a book is, you know, you may read a magazine, and I read 10 books. I've done it all my life, even as a young man. Didn't have any money to buy books. But I went to the library and I read every book they had, practically. I guess I can't say I read every book they had, but I mean, I emptied shelf after shelf reading those. And I was only like 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. The librarians were just amazed. I was hungry to read books on world history, on theology. But I never read a book by Martin Luther entitled On the Jews and Their Lies. Let me tell you something, my friends. This is a book that has been banned and censored by the Jews and the Vatican alike for almost 500 years. Think of this book was written in the year 1543. Martin Luther was 59 years old. He knew about the Jews. He had made it his business. Now, let me explain something. Martin Luther, early in his life as a young man in his 20s and 30s, was the most kindly man toward the Jews that you could meet. He believed that if the Christians would be friendly and kind toward the Jews. The Jews would reciprocate. Aha. He didn't know the Jews, did he? He actually authored a book entitled The Jew. I think it was entitled The Jew That Is Jesus Christ. He said Jesus was a Jew. Perhaps as Christians, if we're kind and compassionate toward the Jews, at least some Jews will be led to follow Christ. That was his goal, always to follow Christ Jesus, to uplift Jesus Christ. He said, if I can tell people to be kind to Jews, that's what I will do. He invited Jewish rabbis into his home and would talk to them of Jesus, but he noticed that none ever accepted. They were very cold when he mentioned Jesus. Now, later on in his life as an older man, he found out about the Jews. How did he find out? Because a Jewish man had converted to Christianity. A very intellectual German man. And he went to see Martin Luther and he said, Martin Luther, you believe that being kind to the Jews will win them over. They laugh at you. They curse you. They spit upon you. The Jews, every Saturday, every Sabbath in their synagogue, curse you. Curse the Christians. If the Jews had their way, they would murder you and your family and take all of your goods for themselves. They hate Gentiles. Their book of the law, their most holy book, the Talmud, says that when they receive their Messianic kingdom, they will slaughter all of the Christians. Martin Luther was shocked. How could these Jewish people, whom he had befriended, whom he had been so kind to all these years, how could they have been plotting such horrors? How could every Saturday in their synagogues, they go in there and with their own lips and tongue speak blasphemies against Jesus Christ, who had never done them wrong, who had only been kind to the Jews, and yet they had sought to murder him and to stamp out every bit of the Christian history. They were a secret serpentine cult. And then Martin Luther understood something. In Matthew 23, verse 33, Jesus Christ said of the Jews, ye serpents, ye vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Martin Luther said to himself, how and why could I have been so kind and compassionate toward the Jews when they've never returned anything but hatred toward us Christians? And most of all, you see, he didn't mind being treated bad. He didn't mind the Jews plotting to kill him and his family, plotting to massacre every Christian, plotting to steal all of our goods for themselves. But when they told such lies about Jesus and his mother Mary, this was too much. He got the Talmud and he studied it. And he studied it. And he became sick and disgusted. Oh, my friends, the greatest reformers in the world are those who discover the truth. I mean, the people who hate alcohol the most are the ones who used to be drunks, and they're reformed. The people who hate narcotic drugs the most are those who used to take them but reformed. The people who were sex addicts but now understand that God calls us to be holy. The reformer is a great champion for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, the men that I have seen that are the strongest for Jesus Christ used to be Catholics. They came to me, they said, no more. I was a Catholic, but I'm not anymore. I'm a Christian now. I've reformed. I've changed my life. I've become a new person. And Martin Luther said, this Talmud is incredible. What the Jews really teach, their hidden teachings, their hatred of Jesus, their hatred of the Christian. I'm going to tell the whole world about it. And so he wrote a book on the Jews and their lies. Is this an anti-Semitic book? No. He doesn't say, let's talk about how much we hate the Jews. He doesn't say the Jews are evil because they're Jews. He said they do evil because they hate Jesus Christ. This is the key. Now, I have this book, and we have published this book. We're the first ministry in scores of years and decades to actually have the courage to publish on the Jews and their lies. This is an amazing book. Now, our version of it is like 230 pages, around 230, 240 pages. We have published everything that Martin Luther had to say about the Jews and their lies. You've got to get a copy of this book. I'm recommending this book to every Christian in the world. If you're of the camp of the saints, Revelation 20, you've got to know what the enemy, what the synagogue of Satan has planned for you, how they plotted against you. And this is a defense of Jesus Christ. You know, people have come to me and said, well, Martin Luther was an anti-Semite. He was not. He befriended the Jews until he found out what they were really up to. Then he became a reformer. I've heard people tell me there's nothing wrong with alcohol. There's nothing wrong with marijuana. There's nothing wrong with cheating on your wife a little bit. That's what men do. Nonsense. When these people woke up, when they awakened to their responsibility as saints of God, they were sickened at their previous behavior, and they became the champions of the faith. You see, Jesus Christ can use you in whatever capacity you are right now. You may be a sinner, and you may say, I'm worthless for the kingdom. God cannot use me. That's where you're wrong. God will use you with everything you've been through. Sometimes he takes the greatest sinner and makes a saint of them, and they're the best of the saints. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and sin. Even the Apostle Paul addressed that subject in the Bible. He said, don't go out and sin so you can be a better saint. That's that's stupid. But if you're already there, if you're a wicked person, you don't have to stay there. If you're a murderer, a liar, a deceiver, a drunk, a sex addict, you don't have to stay there. You can better yourself. You can become a champion of the faith. You can arise. You can lift your heart before Christ. You can be the greatest of the saints. Do you understand that, dear friends? This is your opportunity. And get this book by Martin Luther. You will see that Martin Luther was a great Christian man. But he was sickened. He was saddened. He was disgusted by the Jews, whom he had attempted to befriend, to find out of their hatred for his Lord and Savior. Now, I want to ask the pastors out there listening to me, do you not get angry at the Jews and what they say about Jesus? When they say that Jesus is a bastard, when they say that Jesus was a sorcerer, when they say that he's burning in fiery excrement in hell today, do you not grow angry?
Well, I forgive them.
They haven't asked your forgiveness. When they say that Mary was a whore, that she had sex with animals and with Roman soldiers and sickening stuff, none of which is true, and they provide no evidence at all in their Talmud. They simply make these bold, lying accusations against our Lord and Savior and even his wonderful mother, Mary. Doesn't your blood boil? If your blood doesn't boil, I want you to look in the mirror and ask yourself this question. Am I really a Christian? I've met many a Muslim. Many Muslims contact this ministry and attempt to win me over for Muhammad and Allah. And I turn and ride around and say, look at Jesus Christ. He's the answer, not jihad. You can't fight a war, a physical war, and win anything. I'm telling you right now, friends, I do believe in you should defend your family. You should defend yourself. But don't go out 10,000 miles away looking for monsters, because they will come up. Satan will rise up wherever you fight him in the world. When you fight him with carnal weapons, Paul said, we do not fight with carnal weapons. We throw down the imagination of the evil one. How do we throw him down? With the power of Jesus Christ. Have you ever read Jude, my friends, where the archangel, when he went to retrieve the body of Moses, when Moses died, the archangel went to get his body. You see, someday when you die, an angel will be sent to get your body. But the devil confronted him. The devil wanted the body of Moses. The devil said, Moses belongs to me. That's what the devil's going to do when you die, dear friend. If you're a saint, the devil will argue and dispute with God and say, no, that man, that woman belongs to me. But I'm telling you right now, God's holy angels will fight for you and say, no, this person believed in Jesus Christ. And he will tell the devil, the Lord rebuke you. Now, friends, you don't need tanks. You don't need armaments. You don't need weapons. You don't need lasers. You don't need all of these things. You don't need all this junk. Think about it. The angel told Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And Satan went away. And Moses went right on to heaven. You see, I preach on this radio program. I preach the truth. And I'm telling you, there are so many lies that are spoken about me. And people say things about me that are preposterous. And they make up stories. And all of these propagandists from the Jews and from the Vatican, they make up stories about Tex Mars, and they say, look what Tex Mars did. Look what he believes. None of those are true. But I don't spend time defending myself. Come down to this ministry in Austin, Texas. Ask these people here how many hours I spend defending myself. Have I ever done one radio program defending Tex Mars? I don't believe so. I think I did one program about 10 years ago telling what people were saying about me just for the fun of it. I let Jesus Christ and his angels defend me. They can do a better job. Listen to me. If you're a saint of God, let Jesus Christ and his angels defend you. I mean, what does the United States have? What do all of the nations of the world have? Armaments. What do you and I have? Jesus and his angels. Which is superior? You know which. Tanks, aircraft, missiles, nuclear weapons. They can't stop Christians. They haven't yet. In 2,000 years, no one has stopped Jesus Christ. He started with himself, and then he had 12 disciples. One of them turned out to be a devil, and he had to appoint one man to take over that person's place. And so Jesus and his 12 disciples went on, and they've taken over entire nations, entire continents. And I want to tell you that we have not taken with a sword any nation. The holy angels have done our fighting for us. Now, we're in the Middle East today, and I want to end by telling you that we're in the Middle East today. We're fighting a war of armaments. That's a mistake. Read Martin Luther's On the Jews and Their Lies. This book, it's only $20. It just came out, friends. Get this book by Martin Luther, On the Jews and Their Lies. As for the Jewish book by Martin Luther, we'll know what you're talking about. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. As for the new book, the brand new book has not been published in many, many years. It's been banned and censored for five centuries by the Jews, by the Vatican. Folks, when you got both the Vatican and the Jews fighting you. But you know what? Martin Luther is dead. So Jesus Christ rose up Tex Mars. And he said, Tex, get this book out there. I want Martin Luther's book out there. I didn't have any choice. I had to publish this book. Do you understand me, friends? I had to publish this book to defend the name of Jesus Christ against the Jews and their lies. That is my destiny. And I'm following it out, friends. It's Martin Luther's book. I didn't write a word in it. I wrote the foreword. I think it's about 15 or 20 pages. So yeah, I wrote the foreword. But the great part is what Martin Luther said. And boy, did he ever defend Jesus Christ. Did he ever show the Jews were liars, that they're telling lies? Did you know the very final last sermon of Martin Luther was a warning about the Jews? Isn't that amazing? He spent all his life fighting the Catholic Church and the Pope. But in his final last sermon, he got up before the church and said, my lords and my ladies, I rise to tell you of the greatest danger upon this face of the planet. That's his final sermon. Can you imagine? And one of his last books was on the Jews and their lies. This must be published, he said. Now, they've tried to suppress it all these centuries. But now, in these last days, Power of Prophecy Ministries has brought forth this book, the classic warning about the Jews and their hatred of Jesus. Martin, and read what Martin Luther says we need to do. Should we go and forth and kill the Jews? No, but we must stop their lying mouths. We must tell the truth. We've got to confront these lies on the Jews and their lies. $20, ask for this book by Martin Luther. Get this book today. You've got to get this book, please. All right. Our website, of course, if you want to order it by web, on the webpage, is powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. It's right there on the right on the top of the page. Powerofprophecy.com. You can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Send us $25. That's $20 for the book, $5 shipping and handling. We'll send it out to you. This will be the first time. Can you imagine? You're going to get this book and you're going to say, wow, am I not privileged? I'm reading what Martin Luther said 500 years ago about the Jews. He knew more about the Jews than any man alive probably at that time, except the Jew who had converted to Christianity and told him about what the Jews really taught. Please get this book. And now let's return. Now, I want to warn you about the Jews. They're not pious. They're not saints. The rabbis tell lies, and Jesus said, call no man rabbi. And I know that there are Christians out there today that say they're Masonic Jews and their leaders are called rabbis. Well, that's baloney. They are serpents. They're a generation of vipers. They cannot escape the damnation of hell. They could escape if they accepted Jesus as Lord, and the few that have escaped. Can a Jew become a Christian? Of course they can. Anyone, any race, any nation can. This is what people don't understand. They lie about Tex Mars. He said that all Jews go to hell. That's stupid. No, I don't say that at all. I'm a Scotchman myself. I think I am. I'm a little bit French, a little bit all kind of stuff. Mostly Scotch, though. Can all Scotchmen go to heaven? Well, no, only those who accept Jesus Christ. Can all Jews go to heaven? No, only the few that accept Jesus Christ. Well, I'm French. I'm Mexican. What about, I'm Spanish. I'm, well, good for you. That doesn't put you in heaven, though, my friends. Only Jesus can bring you there. You know, Rabbi Joel Boxt, I got his book recently, and the title of the book is Journey to the Center of the Torah. Journey to the Center of the Torah. You see, the rabbis have said that in the very center of the Torah, which is the first books of the Bible, they come to a discovery. They find that right there the words are interpreted that the Jewish nation or people have journeyed to the center of the world, which is the center of the Torah, and there they landed in the belly of the serpent. How can that be? Well, the Jews interpret the Bible different than you and I. When a Jew says, I believe in one God, no, they believe in many gods and goddesses. They interpret the Bible differently. They will say, well, we have many gods and goddesses, but they're all one. Well, the Hindus tried that on me one time. I think I've told you about the Hindu woman who called on the radio show and said, we Hindus worship one God just like you Christians. I said, what is his name? Well, there are many names. I said, what are their names? Well, I said, don't you call Kali the great cobra goddess? Isn't she a god? Well, yes. Uh-huh. And so I went on to name, you know, five or six different gods and goddesses. She said, well, yes, those are gods and goddesses, but they're all one. I said, well, you even believe that all the people on the face of the earth are one, don't you? Well, yes. Well, then everything is one. In fact, you believe that everything is God, don't you? Well, yes. I said, well, if I go and buy me a glass of milk and I drink that milk, I'm drinking God, right? Well, yes. Well, when you interpret that, see, friends, when you define God as everything in the universe, then go out there and hug a tree, you're hugging God. Eat a meal and you're eating God. Of course, that's ridiculous. That's how they define things different than you and I. And Rabbi Boxt, in his book, Journey to the Center of the Torah, says in the very center of the Bible, of the first books of the Bible, you meet the serpent. And we Jews, we exist, we live in the very belly of the serpent. Ah, yes. Do you get it, folks? The Jews are the serpent people. This goes all the way back to the days of Gog and Magog in Khazaria, when the Khazarians were called the people of the serpent. And today, the Jews, they recognize, they know that they're of the serpent. And they believe it's the serpent who's their Messiah who will give them their kingdom. Now, I want you to understand something. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jews have worked against Christian nations. They're in the very heart of Christian nations. They're in the belly of the Christian nations. We have 2% of the Jews in the United States. Now, the Jews have determined that the United States will fight their war in the Middle East. Hasn't it seemed strange to you that 9/11 did not happen in Jerusalem? It did not happen in Tel Aviv? No, even the banks of Israel are safe from the bombs of terrorists. The terrorists do not bother much with Israel. The Hamas has no weapons. Think about it. Bottle rockets, that's all they've got. Why doesn't the Hamas have jets? Why don't they have armed helicopters? Why don't they have all kinds of military tanks and aircraft? Because all those things are given to the Middle East nations by the United States. And the United States is an ally of Israel. And Israel and the United States have teamed up together. And we're all using our propaganda to deceive the American people. Folks, the Muslims have always been deceived into battling each other and killing each other. And now they're killing each other in the Middle East in the form of ISIS. Let them do it. Satan will always fight with Satan. That's right. That's right. There's no honor among thieves. But the United States, as Christians, we should not support this. We should stay out of these wars. We should stay out of the Jewish crusades for the Middle East. They want the oil. That's what the Jews want. They want the oil. And they want to knock out Al-Assad, the president of Syria. And they've developed ISIS, ISIL. But ISIS does not go and attack Israel. Do you understand that, my friends? Why? Because they are Israel. The beheadings are done by ISIS on behalf of the United States and Israel. That's why they're being beheaded. Stay out of there and you won't be beheaded. Let the Muslims fight each other and kill each other. We Christians should stay at home. Stay away. For hundreds of years, for centuries, the Muslims have fought and killed each other. Why should we join them in their fight? Why should we fight a 30-year war, a 100-year war? Let us return home. Now, the Christians that are there, praise God for them. Offer them sanctity in the United States. Bring them back to the United States. If they're a Christian, offer every Christian who wants to return to the United States or who wants to come here, if he's an Iranian, an Iraqi, a Syrian, a Jordanian, let the Christian come here because they're being murdered by the Muslims today. If they, we need to send chartered aircraft to Baghdad, pick up the Christians, save the Christians. Because they're hated by the Jews. They're hated by the Muslims. Save the Christians. Right now, the Christians are being massacred, just like they were in the days of Armenian, the Armenian genocide. Don't go along with this. Don't go and kill people. Simply go and rescue the Christians and then let them all fight each other. We don't need their oil. The United States has more oil than any nation on earth. We don't need Rothschild's oil in the Middle East. Let the Middle East alone. We Christians should stay home, but do rescue the Christians that are perishing, who are being massacred, genocided in the Middle East. That is our only responsibility. I'm Tex Morris. Until next time, my friends, please get in that, read the book of Revelation. Read Revelation 2 and 3 and discover the power of prophecy.